Thank you, Greg. That was brilliant. Superb. Who's glad they came to church today? Always. It's good to have Claire and Melanie in church. You're allowed to get vocal in church. It's okay. God's good, hey? All the time. Thanks, guys. You can take your seats. It's awesome. I'll get you back soon. Also, I do remember what I was meant to do last week, and I'll say it now, and that is that I don't even know where he is. He might be outside today, but Steve Coppen, you might have noticed he's been helping out a fair bit, and he's great at that. He's also what we have decided to do as a staff and as a senior pastor of our one church in two locations is Barry is doing a great job down at Wellard. Those of you who've been to Wellard, and they're building a strong team of leaders and helpers. They got a great. If you've ever been to the prayer meeting before church, it's amazing. They're doing a really good job down there. And Emma and I had a chat. Emma's on holidays, if that you wondered where they were. Emma and Richard and the kids camping with no toilets. Anyway, that's a side story. And so what we've just noticed is that Barry needs to be over all things Wellard, all the leadership, pastoral care, everything, to get a handle on it. And so that means that he's had to release missions. And Steve Coppen is now going to take on doing our missions. And so you'll see a video of him shortly in the next few weeks of Steve overseeing that role. So he's now the missions coordinator. And when we go to Africa, he's the missions pastor because they don't know anything except pastor over there. For those of you African, you know what I mean, don't you, blabber? And so isn't that exciting? So just trying to, thanks Steve for his willing heart. He's volunteering to do this role and it's just a great asset. It's good to have someone who's more mature, especially for Africa, but also in the Philippines and some of the other regions that because the Africans really appreciate that. So I think that's a good win as well. So I just thought I'd let you know that. Who's looking forward to the message this morning? Who enjoyed last week? Miracles. I want to stay on the same sort of theme, although this morning I want to talk about springs in the desert. And so I'm actually really looking forward to speaking about this. Who's ever had a dry season in their life? Just me? Maybe you're having one now. You know, I believe that God can do amazing things. Do you believe that God can do incredible things even though it's not looking like it in the natural? Yeah. That God could change your circumstance. God is bigger than us. And I think, as Caroline Moore pointed out to me in our pre-service prayer this morning, that we have to disengage sometimes our mind so that God can do the miracle. So if you're an analytical type person or you just overthink things, let's just let God be God. There's nothing bigger than God. Amen? And so that's very helpful. So I want to talk about springs in the desert. It's related to Luke 4:18, but we're actually looking at it from the prophecy from Isaiah in Isaiah 35. We're going to look at it verse 5 and 6 in a moment. So this is a messianic chapter. Messianic meaning that proclaiming that Jesus was coming. Who knows that Jesus has come now? And it's interesting to me that how accurate the prophecy was in the Old Testament, which is now fulfilled in our lives. And so this is quite remarkable. And freedom is found when you and I have Jesus living in our hearts. That's why we will never stop doing an altar call for asking people if they have turned their back on Christ or need to come to Christ, because freedom comes through. Some of you are excited about that. Yeah, all right. So here we go. Isaiah 35:6, the second part of the verse says, "For waters shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of jackals where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes." When I was a lot younger, my family travelled across the Nullarbor Plain. The Nullarbor Plain back then, or actually let me give you a little bit more reference to that. The Nullarbor is a vast plain that crosses the whole Australian Bight, and in case you're unaware, and it's basically treeless and arid country, 200,000 square kilometres of just flat, straight. The road is incredibly straight. It runs from Norseman right through to Zajuna, and it's quite remarkable. Now, when we travelled across there the first few times with Mum and Dad, and I was about 16, 15, it was gravel. We had a Ford Falcon XD wagon, and we travelled with this elderly lady, and every time a truck came past, I'd never forget, she would duck, thinking the truck was going to get her. And we ran over a wombat. We nearly hit many kangaroos. This is all gravel. We did it once in an Austin Kimberley as well. That was an interesting experience. And so I've actually crossed it three other times. I crossed it once with a bunch of blokes. There were seven of us. And we went to watch the Eagles in 1992 defeat Geelong. It was before the Fremantle Dockers were around. Never again will I travel with seven blokes in a small little van, but hey, what an experience. And we got to know each other really well. And did it with four mates, went to in a Ford Cortina actually. It was actually with a guy named Ashley Holgren, which some of you may remember from the old days, Darren's brother. And we went in his car and we travelled all the way to Tamworth in 36 hours from Perth. Anyway, that was... Let's just say that we obeyed the speed limit on all occasions. For those of you who haven't realised yet, speeding comes naturally to Nigel. Thank you, Lord, that you've looked after me a little bit. Anyway, the fines are not nice. But anyhow, let's move on to what we're talking about today. See, when back in those days, there was about every 300 or 400 kilometres, there was a sign that actually said last water for 400 or 500 kilometres. Some of you will remember. And there's a water tank, and it was like, I remember as a teenager going, this is serious. We could die. This is really arid ground out here. And so they had, the councils had put these water tanks that you could get water from. And so I say that to say this, and this is where it aligns with the scripture in Isaiah. Generally, waters are not in the wilderness. And they certainly do not burst forth. It's talking here about streams in a desert. Water in a desert. Pools in a desert. Springs of water in a desert, reeds due to water, reeds, which means there's marshlands in an arid place, jackals, or if you like, wild dogs camping out in the marshland. And so we have this remarkable picture. And I want to say this morning that there is a miracle in the desert. And whatever situation you are facing, there is a miracle in the dry place that you may be in. Isaiah 41 verse 18 says this, I will open rivers in desolate heights and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water. Now, just to give you some context, some history, Israel, and well, history as well as today, Israel is over 60% desert, yet it is a garden. This is what's been prophesied, and I'm going to get to in the natural right in a moment. I've got a few photos to show you. Now, there's an author, a Jewish author by the name of Seth Siegel, and he explains to the world that despite Israel's challenges, Israel is not just treading water, it is thriving. Here we are, a desolate place, and yet it is thriving. Does anyone want to thrive today? Does anyone want to actually trust God more than they are right now? And regardless of what their situation may look like, that God has a miracle in the desert. He has a miracle for you. See, Seth writes, he's a journalist, in an article, "No other country with a growing population, a growing economy, and falling level of rainfall has been able to achieve anything remotely like Israel has done." That's the Times of Israel in 2015. In the 1930s, British economists predicted that all of Palestine, including Gaza, Israel, and the West Bank, only had enough water to sustain 2 million people. Have you heard the word of God this morning? Have you got that locked in there? There are springs in there. There are water everywhere. There's animals camped around marshlands. All right, today, they predicted, 1930, they predicted how many? 2 million people. Today, the area is home to more than 12 million people. And not only is there enough water to go around, but Israel is able to export billions of dollars of worth of water and water-intensive produce, melons, potatoes, tomatoes, to its neighbours regularly. How can one small country, which is in the majority a desert area, do this? Does anyone believe in God this morning? See, we have natural miracles and we have spiritual miracles. Because God said so, it has happened. Does anyone believe God this morning? Because God said so. It's written in His word, and so it has come to pass. Now, scientists can't explain it. And yet, it is a natural fulfillment of the word of God. Waters will burst forth in the wilderness. And so there's a natural fulfillment to God's word, and there's a spiritual fulfillment, which we'll get to before we finish today. And so basically there's natural water and there's spiritual water. So God has absolutely no problem producing water in a desert. God's God. It doesn't matter what it seems like, God's God. And so I've got a few images to show you, which are today, because I couldn't find any really relevant ones. Let's throw those up, Conrad. Here's a spring in the desert. And that one's in Israel. Next one. We've got some guys jumping in off some rock pools. I think we've got one more, haven't we? And that's a natural spring that actually never runs dry. Doesn't really look that deserty, does it? That one's actually... in this whole land of the Bible region that we're talking about. And so, thanks, guys. So there is a spiritual fulfillment. Isaiah 58, verse 11. "The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail." Would anyone like to be like that all the time? Oh, Lord, we pray today that you would help us understand from your word, and Father, that you would help us become people of your spirit, that we would see beyond the natural and to how you have provided and will provide for us, both naturally and spiritually. In Jesus' name. And so let's give another illustration. Moses is in the wilderness, but water came from a rock. Has anyone been able to produce water from a rock lately? Not recently? No. The Israelites are complaining that they don't have enough water. You can read it in Exodus 17. And so Moses asks the Lord, what should he do? It's good to ask the Lord what you should do, hey? What should I do, Lord? How many times do we think that we should do that and then forget to ask? Are you anything like me? God said to Moses, "Strike the rock and water will come out of it and they will have plenty to drink." God can do stuff that totally confuses and baffles scientists. Springs, streams and rivers from a desert. And here's the thing. Moses had Christ with him, and was able to speak with him, wherever God is, Jesus is. 1 Corinthians 10:4, just in case you think that this is the Old Testament, look at this. And all drank the same spiritual drink, for they, the Israelites, drank of that spiritual rock, capital R, that followed them. And that rock was? That rock was? Does anyone have Christ with them today? And so when you're walking through a dry place, and who knows that sometimes those dry places can take a while. When you're in a wilderness experience, or when you're not sure how things are going to turn out, there is a God that's walking with you, and he has water for you. He will sustain you, and there is going to be a bursting forth at some stage in your future as you hold on in faith to who God is in your life. I thought that deserved a bit of a clap, actually. God's a big God, amen? So I don't have to live in a dry land, even though I live in a fallen world. Come on. Even though all around me at work is all this craziness, all these stuff that comes out of people's mouths, all this negativity, I thank you, Lord, that I can live above it. I thank you, Lord, that even though I have to walk out or drive out of here, walk out of here, whatever you do, and someone's nasty, I thank you I can live above that, Lord. I thank you I don't have to be the same. I want to make a couple of points this morning. Number one, Jesus brought the Holy Spirit. Tell your neighbor, Jesus brought the Holy Spirit. See, Jesus did not just bring a stream, he brought the whole river. Would anyone like a river rather than just a little bit of a stream in their life? And so John 7:37, on that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." On the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles in the Old Testament, they always used to pray for rain. And so I just recognize that this passage actually has a little bit more significance than what Jesus is saying, because he knew that the Jews, they knew the Old Testament, and they knew. And he says here, he's actually saying that if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink, and I will give you rivers of living water. He knew that they knew what was actually done on the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. And so he's prophesying that it's all here in me. Does anyone want more of Christ in them today? And so I am the Messiah. You want water? I have it. That's what Jesus is saying. And so Jesus came so that you can have a dynamic flow, river flowing through you and in you and out of you. And Jesus prayed for the Holy Spirit. And because that is where your river is going to be birthed, he is your spring in an otherwise dry and desolate world in which we live out our lives. Come on, let's just take a moment. Lord, I thank you for the indwelling of your Holy Spirit in my life. Lord, fill me. Fill me up, Lord. The power of the living God, let it flow through me today. Let me have your word and allow your spirit to manifest itself and move through me and see things how you see them rather than I see them. Lift my head up so that I will not see the negative, but I will see the positive through you. The people of God said, amen. See, the reason Israel has so much water and springs will gush out 24 hours per day is that God put them there. And God has left us his Holy Spirit, so as in the natural, as in the spiritual, so that you can have a living spring inside of you. And the Greek word mostly used for the Holy Spirit is parakletos, or parakletos, or whatever, however you pronounce it in your particular culture. So para is to come alongside, paragraph, sentences alongside other sentences. Was Catherine parallel? Yep, paralegal. I was thinking of come alongside the lawyer to help them, to meet with them, to console them. And so would it be all right that all through your day, everything you do, that the Holy Spirit just walked with you through your whole day? Do you think that would be all right? I think it would be fantastic. That whatever you're doing and those things that we have to do in life, go to work, make the dinner, whatever we do, look after our children, that in every part of our day, He's right there. Amidst all we're doing, the Holy Spirit is there with us. He's next to us. He's inside us. And so, like in Israel, there are natural springs and streams which flow into the Jordan River, and the Holy Spirit is a natural stream for every believer. He is for use in your life. He is not there for looks. He wants to help you throughout whatever you're doing. Yeah, but I hang with the cool people of C3. You and I have to engage Him in our lives so that He can bring unheard of miracles into our lives. Andrew and I have been through significant, and I know many of you have, significant things. And I look back now and I think, I thank you for your Holy Spirit that helped me through, and otherwise, because I'm too dumb. I would have gone a different way. But suddenly the Holy Spirit says, no, do this. Don't go that way, go this way. Don't make that decision, make this decision. The Holy Spirit brings a river even when it doesn't seem like it's ever going to happen. And so the Holy Spirit, I want to say this, the Holy Spirit is not weird. People are weird. There are statistics on this. That every third person is weird. So look to your left. Look to your right. And if they're not weird, guess what? John 16:13. However, when He, the Holy Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. Jesus says that the Holy Spirit speaks. Would anyone like to hear the Holy Spirit speak into their life? Some when we're in a good patch, it's like, well, we forget. And then when we have a bad patch, we need Him. How about we just decide that we just want the Holy Spirit all the time? Come on. It would mean a lot that miracles would be a lot. We expect God to move, wouldn't we? And I'm expecting God to move in our church. We're not just having freedom, we're experiencing freedom. We're not just talking about it. We know who our God is, and we're getting stronger in who He is and the authority of who He is. And so the Holy Spirit knows all truth because He is God. The Holy Spirit is? Exactly. You and I cannot figure out God. There is no ratio to figure out God. Now, I mentioned it last week that He doesn't have IQ. Nothing can measure Him. He's infinite. And so think for a moment. You have something living inside of you that knows everything about everything. He has committed Himself to be your teacher, so why don't you ever talk to Him? Why don't you ask Him about your kids? Why don't you ask Him about your decision making? Why don't you ask Him about where you should be living? Why don't you ask Him about your job? Why don't you ask Him about all those little things? Because He is God. And so He knows more than you. And I've got to say, the Holy Spirit is a person. He's not some, like in the movies, some spirit being just floating around somewhere. He is a That's really important. You have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in the Bible is never referred to as it. He's a person, and we need him. Just like he is God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. All three are God. One's God, two's God, three's God. It's just the way it is. His name is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is God. And so lastly, let the river flow. Let the river what? Flow. And I know that some of you allow your Holy Spirit to rise up inside you and let the river flow. But I also wanted to show you, I have a, is that the picture? Okay. It's pretty arid, right? This is typical desert land in Israel. But this is a spring that comes out of the rock that never stops flowing. Quite remarkable. And so I'm trying to give you a picture here of what is God's done naturally, but also what he can do for us spiritually. That even in the driest, that's pretty dry. Even in the driest of the dry, God's got a plan. And God can move through you. And there's no problem too big for God. There's no issue that he can't help with if we allow him into our life. And so this is in, actually I've got the, this particular picture is in, this spring is in Ein Gedi in the Judean desert. A natural spring that keeps flowing regardless of the temperature or its arid surroundings. I want to just go to James 3, 7 and 8 for a moment. And it says there, for every kind of beast and bird of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. Thank you very much. But no man can tame the. No man can tame the. If you're anything like me at all, you've had a wonderful day out with others, you get home and you're tired and you lose it. Or you say something you wish you hadn't. And what was a great day is not a nice night. Our tongue does crazy things, right? And we realize that it's very difficult to tame. We can't contain our tongue. But the Holy Spirit can. But the what? The Holy Spirit can. We can't contain our tongue, but the Holy Spirit can. And I've heard people say to me, if he wants to give it to me, you know, Holy Spirit, speak in tongues, he can. Well, actually, that's not great theology. You and I must desire to have the Holy Spirit in our lives. A God bubbling up within us like a spring of living water. And he has a language for us that keeps us in his flow. Who'd like to be that gushing forth, that spring even in the desert? This is what God's saying. That through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives and his flow in our life, that we can be above every difficult problem and situation in our life. Andrea mentioned a few weeks back that the reason she got a promotion at work, for those of you who weren't here, she spoke a couple of weeks ago, was for one reason only, and that was because of her positive attitude. And the bosses said that to her and her major colleagues. And what she didn't say was this, I thought it was really funny. One of her colleagues says to her frequently, how come you're so happy all the time? Well, I can assure you it's not because Andrew and I do not have our own share of problems. But I can say that when you decide to live for God in a situation like Andrea is in now, that you can live above all the negativity, you can live above the what other people's lives, and you actually end up in, because who knows, that positivity is going to affect the whole workplace. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit that changes things. And I think we could all have a boost of the Holy Spirit in our life today, don't you? And we all have issues in this area at some point where we just want to lose it with people, or we just want to, you know, and let's allow God. And so Paul says this, 1 Corinthians 14:14, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays." So Paul is saying he prays in tongues, just in case for those of you who aren't sure about this heavenly language. And Paul is saying, because of the Holy Spirit, I will pray with understanding. Because of the Holy Spirit, I will sing a new song. Because of the Holy Spirit, I will give thanks more often. Oh, what a different world we'd live in if we just gave more thanks. And so Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:18, "I thank God." I thank who? "I thank God I speak in tongues more than all of you." Paul must have spoke a lot of tongues. And so I'm saying today, why don't we all re-engage our heavenly language? But not for no reason at all, but yes, God gives it as a gift. But also, this morning I want to pray for those people that and continue along this whole series, that if you really require a miracle in your life, we want to pray for you as a prayer team. But also, if you want a flow of the Holy Spirit in your life and you don't have that language that God's given us through His Holy Spirit, then we'd like to pray for you too. And let's see God move in our lives and allow Him, not just here for an experience here, but let's allow the power of the living God to go home with us. Would that be all right with you? Yeah. To allow the power of the living God to flow through us to our children, to flow through us to our wife, to flow through us to our husband, to flow through us to whatever situation we are facing, so that God can have, some of these things, they're actually miracles that are required, right? And so, Lord, I'm praying today that we would be rivers in the desert, that we would be springs in the desert, that we would be that refreshing pool for those around us. You see, the truth is, when I pray in the Holy Spirit, and when I simply, why don't we stand to our feet anyhow today, and just why don't we lift our hands to God? Music team, come, thank you. When I pray and I start to speak in that heavenly language, the power of the living God, it's not long before I'm feeling built up. It's not long before I can see a future that hasn't been there before. Well, I know that God is there. So, Father, today I pray for a download of your Holy Spirit into our lives. And that as you've given us a natural picture through this passage in Isaiah, Lord, and through a bit of research, seeing what you have done remarkably and quite miraculously for Israel, even exporting water when they're in a desert, it's amazing. Lord, that you have the same desire for each and every one of us. Streams of living water, come to me and you will drink, Jesus says. And I pray that we would drink of his Spirit over and over again in Jesus' name.